welcome, travelers, eaters. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're going to give you a peek into the just new and future of dining out. We're going to be talking to Christian Frangiatis, a chef par excellence, and also the owner of One by Spork, which is the restaurant we're going to be concentrating on, and Cecil Usher, who is the ultimate barman in every respect, in many places, and particularly in Pittsburgh. Cecil, were you actually in D.C. at one point or not?
No, I was born in New York City.
Okay, you never worked in D.C.?
No, I've done a lot of events down there. I've traveled across the country doing different bar expos and bar events. So I've bartended and had a couple guest bartending shifts and a couple of bar highlights down there, but I did not live down there.
Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, let's get started. Now, you've been around, Christian Frangiatis, but you had a hit restaurant here in Pittsburgh called Spork, and you just now changed the concept to One by Spork and redid the interior of the restaurant and the whole menu and the whole concept, as I said. Could you just tell our listeners why and what the purpose of your new format is at One by Spork?
So we had Spork for 8 years. It's at about 60 people. Sometimes we did 110, 120 people in a night. We were kind of running what I would describe as almost like a hybrid tasting menu at Spork, because what we did is we ran an a la carte menu, and we would allow people to choose what they wanted to eat, but then we would send them out 3 or 4, sometimes 5 amuse that they didn't know that they were going to get. At a certain point, we just decided that we wanted to distill everything that we liked about Spork down into a singular dining experience. Since we were already doing kind of like a hybrid tasting menu, we just thought, let's just go in all in on it, and let's run a single tasting menu every night. So we chose the name One by Spork because we distilled everything into one dining experience. There's one table, one house, meaning no front of the house, back of the house, but just a single staff that takes care of everything. One menu, one pairing for alcohol, one pairing for non-alcohol. Everybody sits at the same time. Everybody eats communally. And so it's one dining experience. And it was all the stuff that we liked about Spork without a lot of the stuff that we didn't. So that's it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we were there, and we had a wonderful time. You socialize as well, and you get a lot of theater involved. You'll explain that. You go in, and you have a drink, as you said, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, a couple of nibblies. Then you move into this horseshoe-shaped counter, which is where you're going to eat. And then you do your theater thing. Tell us how the mechanics is. How do you do that? Do you introduce each course? I mean, I know you do, but tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, so what we do, because the menu essentially is broken down into five welcome bites that people eat when they arrive through the restaurant. And we seat everybody into a lounge because it's going to be 16 people, but it's different parties, right? So it could be 8 2-tops, for example. So as these people arrive, everybody sits in the lounge, and we present them with a welcome cocktail along with like 5 small welcome bites. And when everybody's there and all of the welcome bites have been consumed, then everybody gets up and we move them to the main table. And then we start with a procession of 7 savory courses, 2 desserts, and everything has a pairing. So during the course of that, we will come in, re-silver, drop the drink, whatever the pairing is going to be for that course. And then I will come out and talk about whatever the food is going to be for that particular course. And then we'll start to serve the food, and then Cecil will come and explain the pairing of what either alcohol or non-alcohol pairing went with this particular course. And then we essentially do that rinse and repeat.
Well, I want to insert here that the service is really impressive. It's so efficient and unobtrusively efficient, you know what I mean? And we really enjoyed it a lot. Cecil, what do you do with all the people's different preferences for drinks? How do you handle all of this? And what's your concept of matching drinks to food?
We're definitely glad to hear that, you felt so good about the service as well, but because it's very important to us is that hospitality aspect, and that goes into the drinks as well. We are trying to work, again, to further one concept, is there's no front of house and back of house. So for the past 2 years, I was actually the head chef of my own restaurant. So I have a food background as well, and I look and work with the kitchen on trying to culinarily pair food profiles and the dishes together. So we're looking at everything as more of a concept as opposed to a pairing. I think we're working in hand and step for a course and using the same ingredients, trying to capture flavor. And it just so happens that some of them have alcohol, some of them don't. We're not treating the NA or the non-alcoholic as just removing alcohol from something. We are crafting and mirroring flavors, and then we are using different ingredients to achieve that flavor profile with alcohol or without alcohol. It ends up being pretty seamless because we share everything. We try to be as zero waste as possible. We try to really focus in again on what I think our ethos is putting umami in every bite and making the flavor just jump off the plate or out of the cup.
Now, this is pretty bold thinking in terms of what you're going to serve to someone in their important little glass that's just been presented to them. You've received a lot of feedback, but did you actually receive any non-feedback? People saying, what the hell are you trying to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten great feedback from everybody. I think everybody, I think everybody definitely knew the caliber of the food here and expect that the food is going to be amazing. But I still think we even blow them away and exceed expectations on that. And I think with the beverage program, we have even now added and raised the bar even more by how I think thoughtful and integrated it is with the food menu. It's literally meant to be an accessory. We call it a liquid enhancement. So it is a beverage that is made to really enhance every bite, every dish. It's very, we're very much about harmonious cohesion as much as possible in the whole entire experience. It should feel effortless to the guest.
And now I also would say that, we're very proud of like the food program here, but there are many great restaurants throughout the country and throughout the world that have amazing food programs. But I think where One by Spork really does break a mold and sort of hits new ground is with the cocktail program. It's just, and especially the NA program, it's just, having, kind of traveled through a lot of the world and a lot of 3-star Michelin guide restaurants, I have not come across a NA program that really rivals what Cecil does. A lot of them really tend to be even, I've gone to Noma and the NA program tends to be sort of like juice. And this is just on a whole different level. And I think it kind of breaks new ground in some ways. And I really think that the guests notice this every single night because they talk to me about this specifically every single night. They say, wow, this pairing was amazing. Where did he come up with this idea? They literally are very effusive particularly about the cocktail and non-alcoholic programs.
So you didn't have anybody who said, smoke. You guys must be crazy for trying to do this.
You know, I have to tell you, if I were to draw up how things would go, you know, from the time that we opened about 5.5 months ago, and I were to say, you know, 5.5 months later, this is where you landed and this is how it's gone, I could not have drawn it up any better. I mean, I'm literally sometimes in shock at how smoothly things have gone and what the guest reaction has been. And so for example, if I look across all of the review platforms, right, there's three major review platforms. So we opened December 26th. We have not had anything less than a 5-star review on any platform since January 1st. So that's going like 6 months with nothing but straight 5-star reviews. And we basically have experienced that in the restaurant, where it's just as we just haven't had people who are disenchanted. We haven't had people who feel like they haven't got value. We haven't had people who didn't seem to enjoy the experience. It's just been almost like you're almost waiting for the other shoe to drop, because you're like, how can it go this smoothly? And it's surprising to me.
Yeah, well, you mentioned this. I mean, I told you this privately, that the one question I get asked always is it worth it? Because it's not cheap. You might
correct.
As well upfront to say what it costs to do this.
Right, and it's at $275 per person prior to tax and gratuity. It is a lot of money. In fact, the Business Times just did an article last week where they analyzed this and said that we were the most expensive dining experience in Pittsburgh, with Nemecol and Woodlands coming in second. And you're right. I mean, there was a little bit of trepidation on our part with that as well. But then on conversely, Open Table just did their restaurant rankings for Pittsburgh. And to be ranked in anything in Open Table, it has to be done by diners who have eaten in the particular restaurant. And out of something like 2,000 restaurants, we got number 7 for value, which I thought was like a great thing. Well, I mean, we got number 1 overall, but that was not as flattering as getting number 7 for value, because every other restaurant that was in the top 10 for value was like $15 a person. So I felt really, really happy, because it means that the diners who experienced dinner at One by Spork left feeling like they got a great value. And that was very, very important to us. And that was very, very humbling, so to speak.
Now you mentioned a couple of restaurants along the way, but I was particularly interested in the way that you are melding the food program and the liquor program, and you're doing most of it in a farm right next to Spork. So listeners, expect when you get there, don't expect that. Oh, do expect.
Everything that fresh as can be, because it just came out of the garden.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. You are known, Chris, for doing everything from scratch, everything in. I mean, I never have figured out where you find the time and energy to do all this. I mean, you do all of your own pickles, you do all of your own everything, and you experiment with all kinds of techniques, and some of that's on display at One by Spork, your fermentation
yes.
project and everything. I mean,
yes.
This food is, it's delicious. It's, I don't want to say it's simple in concept, in concept, because it's not really. It comes across singularly as delicious, but it's really labor intensive. Could you run through just like part of a menu? How many courses to start with? How many courses do the diner expect to get? And just run through a few of those for our listeners.
So he would get a welcome, five welcome bites, right? And those welcome bites might be like a takoyaki, but instead of octopus, it might have squab. We do a smoked chicharrón, where you know it's smoked and cured and sous vide and then finished on a plancha. And then, you know, so there's the welcome bites, which are all small, but they're pretty labor intensive. And then we'll do a chicharrón. I'm sorry, not a chicharrón, a ceviche. You know, as our first course, and then a octopus. So, for example, the octopus is sous vide in goat milk whey that has garlic and ginger added to the goat milk whey, and the goat milk whey is a byproduct from a goat milk ricotta ice cream that we make. But it has this amazing tenderizing agent. Then we take, like, we'll glaze it with a blood orange concentrate that we use a roto-evaporator to create, and then we'll put it on a bed of potato cream that's fortified with some split pea miso that we actually produced in the food lab as well. And then there's kind of like a tuile and a hash, and then a raw garlic aioli espuma that brings the dish together. So that's one dish, and it's quite labor intensive. But I would say this. I would
but
say this,
I
though.
Suggest, by the way, that each one of these stages is studied at length in your preparation for the dish, and also that each of the ingredients is like top quality. I mean, you had one dish with Copper River salmon, which is not cheap.
Right.
And it was a decent sized portion as well.
Right, like nobody's going to go hungry.
You're not going to go hungry.
Nobody's going to go away hungry. No. But I think, you know, what makes the whole thing so kind of joyous for us, we are, if we're being honest, we have to say, look, we're feeding 16 people. We're not feeding 80. We're not feeding 100. We're not dealing with a ton of dietary restrictions. We're not dealing with a lot of, like, the barriers that other restaurants have. So we are never in a situation where we can say, like, oh, if we just had time to do this, we could make this dish so much better. Because we always have time. In fact, we have time is, like, the one thing that we have. Because, again, we're feeding 16 people. So we have the time to spend, and if we spend 50% more time to make something 10% more delicious, we'll do that. And we're happy about that. And it's really rather joyous, to be, if I'm being honest about it, because we don't have the pressure that there is in other restaurants. You know, nobody's running around. Nobody's sweating like crazy. We're just really spending time trying to figure out how to make something as good as we can make it. And we're so fortunate to be in that position.
Can you just run through another dish that you're really proud of for our listeners?
So right now we have a duck two ways. And so what we do is we get whole duck in from Joe Jerkovitz and Son, and it's a duck farm in Lancaster County that mostly sells frozen duck, whole ducks, and frozen duck breasts to chefs all over the country. We get the ducks in fresh, and we get 12 of them in fresh every week. We put them in our dry ager, and we dry age them for 7 to 8 days. That dry aging of the duck makes everything, it makes the duck more tender, it makes the skin render much more, we lose the fat cap in the cooking, the flavor is more intense, and then what we do is we'll slather that with honey and coriander and Szechuan peppercorns and za'atar and red wine finishing salt, and then we will bake, roast that to a medium rare. Once it's medium rare, we pull it out, we take off the legs and thighs, and we finish them confit style. And then we pick that meat, and we make duck pizza from that. And that is actually course 7, and it's the first course of duck two ways. And that duck pizza has a naturally leavened dough, and it's got 3 cheeses and Montmorency cherries and caramelized onions and lion's mane mushrooms, and local goat chevrillon cheese from Goat Rodeo. And so that's the first part. And then we encourage people to start to eat the pizza, but hold some of it back as you would a piece of bread for a sauce mop for the second part. The second part is a duck breast. It's done medium rare, and then that's served with a carrot that's topped with celeriac puree and carrot puree, and it's been brushed with mushroom garum. And then there's a dolphine potato that's been, it's basically mashed potatoes with pate choux with homemade red black garlic powder. There's a sauce that's done with squash miso and duck stock reduction and Chambersburg peaches. And then there's some pickled mushrooms that go to cut through like the overall richness of the dish. So that is what we call duck two ways, and we love it, and we're very proud of it, and we think it's great.
Yeah, you actually, I mean, we can sit here and say it's delicious, but I mean, that's kind of abstract unless somebody gets in there and tastes it. You have a lot of repeat reservations and customers. Tell us about that.
That's very true. Go ahead, Keith.
It's been really nice to be able to see guests coming back and looking for different experiences. We've been trying to, again, the part of the goal is add value and increase people being able to come back. This is not just a one-off dining experience. We want to continue to have people be able to show up, so we're constantly working on new dishes. We're adding distillery tastings that we're working with distilleries and pairing up with different liquor brands, wine brands. We're going to be doing some classes coming up. But, yeah, guests have been coming back to experience what we've been working on because we are constantly working. As you mentioned, where do we find the time? I think, you know, we are constantly trying to evolve and not just relaxing on it. And every time guests come back, we've had guests come back three, four times already, and just us being open for 6 months. So that's telling us that, you know, we are providing value and we are providing something for them to see that they want to come back to, which is, you know, what we were hoping for, what we were looking to be able to achieve.
Yeah, the restaurant, by its very nature, it's so conversational that we get a ton of feedback. And so for example, the most common question that I'm asked, and I'm asked it every single night by multiple guests, is how often do you change the menu? And oftentimes they say, and the reason we want to know is because we want to know when we can come back. You know, so they're trying to figure out, and this makes perfect sense because we cannot sell the same experience twice. So we can't ask them to come and eat a repeat menu because that would not make sense. So they ask, they want to know how often do we change the menu. And what I tell them is we work on one dish every week. So we try to swap out one dish each week. So if you were to come back in 6 weeks, 90% of the menu would be flipped.
So for right now,
there's no single dish that's been on since opening.
And
we're 5.5 months old.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I want to throw in here that this dinner has been very successful, but you also recognize another larger, ever-growing larger part of the population, which is vegetarian. So you now have this as a vegetarian series One Day a Week. Tell us about that.
Well, so the thing with One by Spork was that it was always going to be one experience. So the downside to One by Spork was always that, you know, if a guest was a vegetarian or they were gluten-free or they were this or they were that, there's a possibility that we may not be able to accommodate them. At Spork, which was the predecessor to One by Spork, we had developed a lot of kind of like special restriction diners. And we were because we had things like misos and garums, and we had powders, and we had homemade pastas, and we had a lot of stuff that we were able to accommodate, like a lot of people who had a lot of special needs. And we did that, and we had sort of built up a business that was partly dependent upon that. So we had an awful lot of vegetarians and a lot of vegans, and we were not able to accommodate them for the first 4 months of One by Spork until we rolled out a vegetarian summer series, which we hope will turn into a year-round series. But on Mondays now, we do vegetarian tasting menu along with vegetarian pairings. It's a little quicker. It's a little less expensive. It's a little bit of a shorter menu, but it's something that we're very, very proud of, and the reaction to it has been fabulous.
Well, I mean, I just want to repeat from our experience that you get, I think the future of going out to eat, I think people have gone out to eat pretty much a lot, and maybe even too much for just the eating part. And now there's the experience part, and that's what One by Four has become. It's socializing. It's, we met so many different people when we were there. For some crazy reason, I'm not yet figured out yet, is the demographic of the diners is all over the board.
It is all over the place.
Yeah, and I don't know where they come from, to tell you the truth. And I've been doing this a long time. But the experience itself is, we just found a great deal of joy. And you do a great presentation. You should do a stand-up routine on your own.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and there's nobody better than Cecil as far as I'm concerned. Anytime you're any place,
sure.
Cecil, I'm there.
I appreciate it.
No,
that's for
sure. Go ahead.
Well, I think it is something that we haven't touched on yet, is that one of the main impetuses for doing this was to change the overall experience. It wasn't necessarily to make a better restaurant, but it was to just to make a different kind of experience, so that when the guest comes in, that they feel really well taken care of. They feel like it's almost like some place that you can just come in and forget about everything for a couple hours. And then the other thing that was very important to us was to make it like brisk. We wanted it to not be the kind of thing where it just drags on forever and ever and food fatigue sets in. And I've been to some restaurants, like some incredible restaurants that are ranked in the best restaurants in the world. But I've sat in them sometimes and I thought, is this thing ever going to end? I'm ready to go. I'm tired. I don't want any more food. I don't want anything more to drink. I just want this to be over. And so when we set out to do One by Sports, Cecil and I have always – we're always pushing the time. You know, we're always trying to get a little bit faster, a little bit more brisk, a little bit more efficient. And he really specializes in that, by the way. Like, he really can kind of, like, hone in on how to get this done logistically a little bit better. And I think that's really, really important. And we have actually had guests say that to us. I've had guests say, I've eaten at, I don't want to mention a restaurant, but I've eaten at a famous restaurant, and I wanted to slip my wrist, but this is amazing. And what they're talking about, that's an exact quote, but what they're talking about is the time that it takes to get, you know, over here, they tend to get out in about two hours and 15 minutes or so. And that seems like it's like a good night out, but not too long. Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, I appreciate that because I've, as you know, been the rounds of all these restaurants, and I know exactly the kind of fatigue you're talking about. Listen, we've talked up the restroom pretty much. You better tell people, because it's not all that easy to get a reservation. Tell us how far in advance and how do they get it, and what's your website?
Our website is www.onebysport.com. You can get a reservation through Open Table, or there is a link on our website to Open Table where you can book your reservation. Our books are currently open for 3 months out in advance. Our vegetarian menu is only on Mondays. Those are booking up fast, so I'd recommend taking a look at that. You can also call in as well. We do take phone reservations. We'll gladly, me and my team will gladly book you a reservation or help you figure out if you have any dietary restrictions. There are some restrictions that we can accommodate for. especially with the addition of the vegetarian menu. So we do have a little more flexibility. Any questions, always feel reach out to us. info@onebyspork.com. Me and my team will gladly answer all questions and help you book reservations and, again, try to celebrate or, you know, give you guys the best experience that you're looking for.
Well, I mean, that means I'm probably not going to get there soon, right? Well, I'm trying. I mean, it's worth it. And everybody was asking me, is it worth it? It's certainly worth it, listeners. And those of you from out of town, be sure to look up One by Spork when you're in Pittsburgh. And go ahead.
Just one more thing. In terms of value, one thing I just want to make very clear so people understand this is the pairings are included, right? So it is X amount of dollars, but the pairings are included. So if you were to, you know, if you were to go to a steakhouse and get a steak and a bottle of wine and an appetizer, your check might not look too much different.
Right. So, as I said, it's the whole experience is not just eating out, not just eating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've done a great job, you two, and I thank you for taking the time to talk to us about it. And I look forward to my next One by Spork adventure. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you, Ann. Thank you, Peter. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.